This is Jean McMillan interviewing Tina Chandler, 232 Indian Mountain Road, Lakeville, Connecticut. She is president of the board of the Salisbury Volunteer Ambulance Association. The date is July 31st, 2012, tape number 154.
Is it running now?
It's running. May I have your full name?
Christina Chandler.
And where were you born?
Burlington, Iowa.
Birth date?
1937.
Your parents' names, please.
James S. Schramm and Dorothy Daniel Schramm.
Do you have siblings?
I have a deceased sister, older sister.
And what is your educational background?
I've got a Bachelor of Science from Seattle City University.
And I think you told me that you came to this area in 1987 to work at Hotchkiss?
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. What job did you...
I came as Director of Development.
And how long did you stay with Hotchkiss?
I was at Hotchkiss for 5 years.
Then how did you get involved with the Ambulance Association?
I was invited to go onto the board of the service. It's actually the Volunteer Ambulance Service, not Association.
Thank you.
Salisbury Volunteer Ambulance Service, SVAS. I was asked if I would be interested in joining the board by Bill Kerber in 1998, and I started my tour of duty with the board in January of 1999.
What does the board actually do? Is it oversight? Is it buying equipment? What does it do?
Well, like any nonprofit board, it's set up, and we are a nonprofit agency. The board is responsible basically for fiduciary issues. In other words, managing a budget, seeing that there's funds available to run the service, and that they're expended in a wise and prudent manner. And so that means that, and oversight of the squad in the sense that if there are issues that the squad can't handle on their own, they've come to the board for advice and resolution.
What is a squad?
What is the squad?
What is the squad?
The squad is those group of people who are voted into squad membership because they have passed all the necessary tests for being EMTs, emergency medical technicians, and or drivers of ambulances, which mean they have to have CPR training, a few things like that, plus the training to drive an ambulance, but not the EMT status.
How many members in a squad?
Well, there can be as many as you want. I mean, we always wish we had more active members. We have about, in round terms, about 50 members, maybe a few more than that. But they're not all active. I would say probably less than half are really active, or maybe about half.
And your specialty is fundraising.
My specialty is fundraising.
And tell me how you go about fundraising, please.
My specialty is fundraising and organizational development. Put them together. In terms of fundraising for the ambulance service, we do an annual appeal. It's a mailed appeal. In the spring, we do a postal patron mailing, so it gets everybody within our service district, which is the town of Salisbury, which is Lakeville, Salisbury, Taconic, and then a little Amesville, a little piece of Falls Village. And on top of that, we do personalized mailings to people whom we feel have potential to give more substantially than others and whom we want to encourage along those lines. It's a person-to-person kind of a business as much as you can do it that way.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. And because it is volunteer, you need to get assets in order to keep it functioning.
It's not only volunteer, but it's also, we do not charge for services at all. So, and we do not get any funds from the town by choice. So that means that we have to depend entirely on donations for every expenditure that we have. Now, because we're volunteer, our operating expenditures are much lower than they would be otherwise.
What are some of the operating expenses that you have generally?
They are maintenance of vehicles. We have two ambulances, a rescue truck, a gator, and a couple of other vehicles.
What is a gator?
Well, it's one of those things that looks kind of like a garden tractor, only bigger, that you can take in all terrain. It's used when there are rescues up on the Appalachian Trail and in the mountain trails and places like that where you can't get any other way, so that people don't have to walk in and try and carry somebody out of very difficult areas. Sometimes they have to anyway. So a lot of expense goes towards the vehicle maintenance, gas, and the maintenance of the facility, which was an old garage years ago, but was purchased and became the home of SVAS when it was founded 41 years ago. So it's utilities. Insurance is huge for us, of course, because we have to insure all our EMTs and our buildings and all of that, and utilities, and then disposable equipment, things that are used once and then thrown, medical kinds of supplies, and radios for all of the members, because we don't have anyone stay at the facility, they're all on call, and computers. State mandated we had to computerize our records a few years ago. They gave us one, but we needed three. And the software costs us every year. It's
upgraded
and maintained, and so it's things of running a business.
A nonprofit business. That you never know when something is going to be needed either.
That's right. And we make a point of keeping 3 years of basic operating expenses in our capital fund, so that if there's a downfall in the economy, we can continue to provide the service.
Which is a wonderful service,
it certainly is.
And I think someone like myself that's never used it doesn't realize what a wonderful thing it is until something happens.
That's right.
It's my neighbor that's coming to help.
That's right.
It's not a stranger.
That's right, and many, many people say that. It's so reassuring to see somebody you know from your community helping you.
Definitely.
Yeah.
How many members are on the board?
We have a board of 17.
And what is the term of office?
It's a 3-year renewable term, renewable twice. So you could have a service of a total of 9 years.
If you had a wish list, what would you put on your wish list?
I would put on the wish list some generous bequests.
That sounds like a very good wish.
Yes, because that is what has allowed us to maintain a capital account to ensure that we can provide the service even if there are downturns in the economy or extraordinary expenses incurred for some reason or other. And it's our cushion that guarantees that we can continue to operate the service for the community.
Is there anything that I haven't asked you about your job or the ambulance service that you'd like to add?
Well, I really enjoy being involved with it, and I enjoy it because within the ambulance service, the EMTs and the board are a wonderful cross-section of our community. Professional people, doctors, nurses, teachers, lawyers, and our blue-collar community, a whole range of people. And they work together as a team extraordinarily well and enjoy one another. And as somebody said to me once, you know, these are people, in another circumstance, I'd never have a chance to know or to socialize with, and I enjoy it so much. It becomes a second family for people. And that's a wonderful experience.
Yes, it is. And in the interviewing that I've done, many people in many different walks of life have said the same thing, that it's a microcosm.
Whether
we're talking about bankers or real estate agents or teachers or the local decorator,
right.
It's a microcosm of the community.
It is, absolutely.
Now, I know that you are involved in other civic activities.
I am.
And they are.
Well, the other primary one at this point is my membership, and I'm membership chair of the Housatonic Valley Art League, which is actually a regional organization that stretches up to Pittsfield, over to New York State, and east to Granby, and south to about Sharon or Havana, and of about 160 members. They put on four shows a year. We have one running right now in Sheffield, and second one of the summer.
Okay.
And we do a small work show in Lenox in October. Small meaning no pieces are bigger than 16 inches framed. And one in the at the holiday season. We provide workshop opportunities, teaching opportunities, or learning opportunities for our members and others, and try and do things of a community nature. For instance, we gave a relatively small donation to the art program at Housatonic Valley Housatonic Valley Regional High School this year, and it allowed two student groups to go to the Metropolitan Museum in New York for a day, which many of whom had never been there before. So
that's a wonderful experience.
Which is a great experience, yeah. So that's my other primary involvement. I have been involved with Noble Horizons over the years quite a lot. At the moment, I'm not, but I always feel it. And I'm very committed to them because my mother lived there for 6 years. If they call and want some help, I would really
joyfully
try to do
help.
It. Yes, yes.
They are also a wonderful organization.
And they are. They are terrific.
And one of the largest employers in our area.
In our area, right, right.
I know that you paint because I got a chance to
I
see
do,
your lovely
right?
studio. What is your medium and what do you particularly enjoy painting?
My medium currently is pastels, and primarily pastels, and I guess you'd really call me pretty much a landscape painter. Landscapes, I love barns. I mean, I grew up in the Midwest. There are lots of barns around here, lots of interesting old buildings, which are very appealing to me. So,
have you always worked in pastels, or did you start with oil and then change?
No, I pretty much, I dabbled in a lot of things, but I really kind of gravitated to pastels early on and have stayed with it.
Is this a relatively new hobby of yours, or is it something that you've had all your life?
Well, I grew up in a family that loved art and collected art, and so art is sort of in my blood. And I had some early training, but I never went to art school. Got married young, raised a family, came back to really practicing art after I retired from Vassar College. So I've been painting for maybe, really, not more than 5 years.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
And are you a realist or abstract, pointillism, what?
Somewhere in between. I mean, I would like to be more abstract. It's hard to become abstract. That's,
yes.
It's a challenge. So I would say I'm fairly grounded in realism, or maybe impressionism would be a better general term for my general turn of things.
Now, you just mentioned Vassar. Did you go from the job at Hotchkiss to Vassar immediately?
Yes, I did. I was recruited by a colleague of mine to come and work for her under her at Vassar. And decided that it was a great opportunity and a good choice for me. So I made the commute to Poughkeepsie for 6 years.
When did you start at Vassar?
I started at Vassar in 1992.
And you ended?
And I retired in 98, yeah.
Are you completely retired from the development part of it now?
Yes, I am. Both Rusty and I have done quite a bit of consulting over the years since I retired, and before, actually. But now I'm not doing any of that except what I do on a volunteer basis.
And where do you volunteer other than Noble and the ambulance?
That's it.
That's it.
That's it.
That takes a lot of time.
That's plenty. That's actually a little bit too much, but yes.
I know what you mean.
Yeah.
Anything that I haven't covered that you'd like to add to this interview?
Oh, I don't know. Well, you know, I've lived all over the country, and I've lived in very urban areas and in suburban areas. I probably have never lived in as small a town before. Although, even in Iowa, I mean, it was a much bigger town, but it was certainly very rural. And I have to say that I find this area really very precious in the best sense of the word. That it's the smallness of it, the uniqueness of it, the access to anything you really want is always there. Airport's a little far away, but, you know, it's okay. Because there's such a sense of trust and very congenial lifestyle, and it's always good to come home.
It's a very nice place to be from.
It is,
and it's wonderful to hear from people who were not born in the area that it is a unique area, and it's some place that you want to come home.
That's
to.
Right. That's right. Yeah.
Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Jean. It's been a pleasure.